This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Tuesday, April 13th. Well, wheat market's kind of stalling out here. We had a nice push up on the crop report, even though it wasn't exactly a bullish report for wheat, but it certainly had a strong undertone for corn. Corn pushed into new highs, but didn't close all that well on Friday. Wheat did manage to push into a new high for the move. For the winter wheats, Minneapolis actually got back up to the double top high. So at the moment, we're looking at potential triple top in the Minneapolis contracts. But the winter wheats, of course, had fallen much further than spring wheat, and it's more just a correction type of rally in the wheat space so far. But it's you know, the whole grain space is being led by corn, which continues to see, you know, huge demand, number one. And we've seen that. We've exported double what we did last year. And China has been the primary destination for U.S. corn exports, as well as pretty much anyone else in the world that's exporting corn. We also are looking at late plantings for Brazil's second season corn crop, and they're headed into some dry weather. So there's clearly a big concern about the Brazilian crop, which the second season corn crop is primarily exported. So if you start to shave off those yields, then it just puts more demand over to the United States as you get into the end of our marketing year, which is, you know, the May, June, July time window. And that's just around the corner for old crop corn stocks, which are already fairly tight. And the trade seems to think that USDA is well undercounting what the exports ultimately will be. And, you know, we've already exported more than what they're projecting. They barely bumped them up. So it's a situation where the corn market really is just a simmering potential, you know, simmering ember here, that it has great upside potential. All it needs is a little spark. So far, we have not really had that. And again, you got the Brazilian corn crop in, but it's certainly not, doesn't appear to be an easy road ahead of it. Here in the U.S., of course, it's all about weather as well. Pretty decent moisture conditions across most of the Midwest. Some planting delays, but obviously it's very early, and it really is just a matter of, you know, when producers can get in the field. The dryness across the southern plain starting to reemerge, and that's you know, causing some concern for winter wheat and also spring plantings there too. And the bigger concern, of course, you know, from a weather perspective in the United States, is the northern plains. And, you know, we had been kind of bracing for North Dakota in particular to see a big shift of acres out of spring wheat into corn or soybeans. And I don't know that that's going to happen. You know, corn is a huge expense item, and you can shift over to wheat, you know, shift back to wheat, which is very drought hardy. It's not drought resistant, but it's drought hardy, and you could have a better performance. So I think that's why we didn't see the numbers really change all that much for plantings in North Dakota. But by and large, you're looking at dry conditions from the eastern two-thirds, if not at least a half of Montana, all of North Dakota, almost all of South Dakota, except the far eastern southeast corner, and then, of course, the northwest Minnesota, and then up into the Canadian prairies. It encompasses virtually all of spring wheat country, all of Durham country, which is huge. And, you know, a few good timely rains could change that trajectory significantly, but that is not really on the horizon either. So spring wheat is holding its own against the winter wheats. We're back up to those double top highs. If we break out to the upside, it does project at least about another 50 to 60 cents above that would be the technical targets. And I think that's well within reach if we continue to see these kind of dry conditions. Now, this dryness does extend just barely into the western Midwest. And of course, if that's going to expand or blow up on us this summer, that would be Iowa and Minnesota, South Dakota, a huge corn and bean country. That would certainly have an impact. We are still in a demand-driven market for the grains, the entire grain complex, largely led by China. I think wheat is probably the weaker component of that. As we look at the Northern Hemisphere, get their growing season started, and the Black Sea virtually having, you know, no winter stress, record plantings for the Russian crop, and moisture conditions have improved significantly over last fall. So the potential for a record crop out of the Black Sea is pretty high. European production potential is there. We are seeing some dryness develop in France and Germany, of course the two biggest wheat producers, but again, it's very early there. And here in the United States, like we just discussed, it's a pretty mixed bag. So I think that, you know, with wheat, it'll follow corn, and corn certainly is in a bull market. Wheat is struggling to kind of stay in that bullish environment. But I think in the overall bigger picture, the whole grain complex is still in its bull demand-driven market. And it's going to take huge crops to get us out of that. That's unlikely, really, especially if the plantings for corn and beans stay at what the projections were. We're just not going to have that much of an increase in production to give us a cushion. So this would be a two-year event. And obviously, if Brazil continues on its trajectory of, you know, weather issues on the second season corn crop, that just adds to the bullishness of corn. So short term, things look a little rough, I think. Soybeans under some corrective pressure. FOB offers coming out of the Black Sea under some pressure as well. Russian FOB offers are down 7 on old crop. We're sitting at 240. New crop is down 1. We're sitting at 230. U.S. hard red winter wheat at the Gulf was actually up $6 a ton last week. We're sitting at 272 FOB. Soft red wheat is at 281 FOB. That's up 13 on the week for old crop. The new crop was up 11 at 267. So clearly some support showing up here in the United States, which is obviously going to price us out of the market. If the Black Sea is lower and we're higher, that's going to bump us out fairly quickly. And last week we did see Egypt come in for some wheat. They bought all Black Sea wheat, and prices are actually lower still again. So it's pretty safe to say that the U.S. has just priced itself out of the world market. And I think that's probably going to put a lid on the rally here, at least in the short term. Crop condition ratings coming in a little bit better this week. Kansas up 1 and the good to excellent at 55%. Poor to very poor was down 1 at 16%. Montana 58% good to excellent. That's up 1 on the week. Poor to very poor at 15 is unchanged. Spring wheat plantings, Montana at 6%, that's up 1 on the average. North Dakota's at 8%, up 6 on the average. So just getting rolling, and you know, moisture conditions are pretty dry across a lot of these eastern Montana plains and across the northern plains, but we're trying to get it in. So weather will be the driver here, and that will be northern plains is a pretty big focus. The market certainly caught the attention of the market. Midwest weather, of course, will be closely watched as well. I think the more open spring you have across the Midwest, most likely the more corn acres will go in. And that will take away from some of the soybean acres. So we'll see as we go. But again, I think short term, probably see more correction. Longer term, it's still a demand-driven bull market. And any hint of weather problems will send this market a lot higher. If you have any questions, you can call me at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.